Thank you, Mrs. Ayers and Mindy. It's very good. I appreciate that. Thank you, Brother Alexandre. That's the best you're going to get out of a Texas hick, Alexandre. So I appreciate your burden. And you helped me with my message tonight, gave me a great example of a Christian that has trusted the Lord 100% to get back on the field under some very adverse circumstances. Look at Psalm chapter 4 and Proverb chapter 3. Psalm chapter 4 and Proverb chapter 3. I'd rather preacher be up here tonight. Preacher would probably rather be up here tonight, but his knee is kind of dictating things tonight. So I count it a privilege. He's asked me to preach and would ask you to stand as you find your place in Psalm chapter 4. I'm going to look at two verses. And Proverb chapter 3, I want to really focus in on that word trust tonight. And by way of a title, ask you if you have a split trust, if you have a divided trust, or maybe if you have a cluttered trust. We heard a great message Sunday night about cluttered Christianity, about all the clutter in our lives and getting it out and having a pure faith and a trust in the Lord. So I want to ask you tonight what your trust looks like. And as we get into the message, maybe you'll be able to discern. And by the end of the message shortly here, be able to do a little dissection on your own heart, your spiritual heart, and be able to take a look at it. Look with me in verse 4. In chapter 4 of Psalms, it says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." Selah. "Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." Now Proverbs chapter 3, a very familiar part of the Scripture, and a very simple part. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Now the Bible's written for on the 5th, 6th grade level, the King James Bible, and I would like to submit to you that I believe a kindergartner, first grader, second grader is not going to have a lot of trouble with this piece of Scripture. If you look at that first part, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Those are all one-syllable words, folks, and not hard. I believe the youngest can get a hold of this Scripture, and boy, if they make it a life practice, lead a life that pleases God and always leads them in the right direction. But I want you to think tonight, God gives us the ability to trust. He gives us an incredible free will, and He wants us to trust. He wants us to trust one thing, though, and that's Him. That's the Lord thy God. And He tells us repeatedly in Scripture, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, through all the lessons the Israelites tried to learn, through all the lessons in the New Testament, the Corinthian church and others tried to learn, He's constantly driving home this point, trust in Me. Just trust Me. Think of all the songs we sing with the word trust. Trust and obey. Only trust Him. And He's constantly, I believe, challenging us on our trust, just what it looks like. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for the time. Pray that You'd use it, and the Holy Spirit would come and have free reign in hearts. Pray and ask in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. And again, I want you to do a little experiment on your heart tonight. Do a little dissection. No, I don't mean a physical dissection. Don't get gross on me. But I want you to think, if I could just look at my heart, and maybe I could put it in a chart, what I'm putting my trust in, would it all be on the Lord? Or would it be on a lot of other things, a lot of clutter, a lot of split things that shouldn't be there? And that's what I want to talk about tonight. You know, if we'll just leave it before the Lord, maybe if we'll pray, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and let the Lord do a little cleaning in our heart." He'll clean up what we need to trust in, all right? It's a scary thought. If we did look at what we really trust in day to day, it probably changes all the time. From the time the day starts, maybe you start in a good mood, maybe you don't like getting up, and our heart's constantly placing that trust. And oh, we do place trust in something every single day to get by, to make it, to live. And I want to ask you, what are you placing that in? Back in October, November, when we really started to find out that the economy was really going to tank, and our very observant media finally said maybe we're in a recession, I got a note from my sister Carol, and Carol's 2 years younger than I am. She married kids, he has a successful career, she's observant of things in the world. But her email was probably not unlike some questions you might have or have been getting from folks that listen to you and may want some information from you about the times we're in. Her note was very simple. It was just panic. It was, what are we going to do? You know, what about all our savings? It's not fair. And she made that statement. That about drive me nuts. Life isn't fair. But boy, is Christ fair. Anyway, she left me with this note. What do we do, Cliff, with all our money and savings and things? And I wanted to really preach to her, and she's not of the same beliefs and faith and where I'm at. So I was nice. I just I told her I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord with the future and how uncertain it is. But you say, I trust the Lord. Hey, if we did an exit poll tonight, if I polled each one of you as you leave and said, do you trust the Lord? You're going to say, oh yes, I trust the Lord. But how much? What percentage? Just for tonight? Hey, it's easy after hearing singing, after seeing a missionary risk his life and go back to the field. It's easy to say, I'm going to trust the Lord. Hey, I'm pumped up when I see a missionary present and see what the Lord's doing through him. But you know, how many times have we made a commitment, a vow, been to the altar? And it's not that hard. It's a lot harder than we think to keep. We may hear a message on our countenance and smiling, and we say, well, I'm going to commit to smile all the time. And it's not very long until you realize I'm not smiling anymore. Or you know what, we may make a vow, and we may say, well, I'm going to start a diet, and maybe I'm only going to eat a half portion every meal. How many hours would that last? Not very long. About 12 hours into it, I'm going to be eating that full meal and a half. And I'm just trying to get in your mind, but we'll say something great and grand, like I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart, but it doesn't last. We may say, God, never let an impure thought enter my mind anymore. And how long does that last? Well, that takes a walk with the Lord. You know, we're up against the flesh, the world, and the devil, and all these combined, they don't want us to trust the Lord. They do everything to draw us away from the Lord. Looking back, we might get puffed up and say, well, all my life I've trusted the Lord. Really? Or has it been God's good grace and mercy that time and time again, due to our lack of trust, He still pulls us through? And He's long-suffering, and He's good, and His mercies are new every morning. A lot of times, folks, that's what's brought me along and kept me. And we just need to be honest with ourselves tonight about this thing called trust. I want to introduce you to somebody tonight. No, he's not here. He was introduced to me by Brother Bob Hallmark. We kind of have our own Book of the Month Club going in the back of the church before services. It's real simple. You buy books, bring them to us, and we'll read them. Now, we exchange books, and I'd recently given him a book about a very, very interesting subject, World War II submarine warfare. Well, he brought one back on me and said, have you heard of Sergeant York? And being a product of public schools and being more interested in racing motocross and other things, I didn't learn a thing in public school. And I didn't know who Sergeant York was. And Brother Hallmark kind of scolded me. He said, you don't know Sergeant York? And I said, no, sir. He said, well, you're going to read this book. And I took a book and I read it, and I just couldn't believe the valor, the courage, the man, Sergeant Alvin York, World War II, Medal of Honor, and many other distinguished honors, this man, what he was about. Well, Brother Hallmark knew this man became a Christian, had an experience with God, and he preaches my message for me tonight, Alvin York. On October 8th, 1918, World War I, as our troops were trying to press an offensive against the German troops in the fields of France, they had it before them an assignment, an awfully difficult assignment, of going against literally a wall of machine gun fire in the fields of France. And they had seen hundreds, probably thousands, of American troops mowed down by literally hidden machine gun fire. And Sergeant York was part of this group of 17 that got behind enemy lines. How they did it, I don't know. But 17 of them got behind the enemy lines to take out a machine gun installation. And no easy task after seeing so many mowed down and killed to stop the Germans. They got back there and the machine guns turned on them, took out six of the men and of those the officers, so Sergeant York took over. He, along with seven other men, began to take care of business. Sergeant York then shot himself 28 Germans, then he took out 32 machine gun installations, and then he marched 132 Germans captive and into imprisonment. Pretty much all by himself. Military historians didn't believe it. They didn't believe Sergeant York, very humble man. I guess he was a brother. He says he was a Christian man. People wouldn't believe him. They had to get affidavits and sworn statements from military officers that this did happen. And we're going to get to him at the end of this message and visit him again briefly. And just in your mind, fathom that he probably trusted in the Lord. Oh, yes, he did. He was a hillbilly from the mountains of Tennessee. No money to trust. He didn't even trust the government. He was a conscientious objector at the beginning of the war. Yet he followed his heart and followed God into battle. And God wrought a great victory through him. And shortly after that, the German forces capitulated, surrendered, and a victory for the Allied forces in World War I. We'll leave Sergeant York for a minute. I want to give you four things quickly here that maybe we need to remove, maybe we need to unclutter from our trust, just what we're trusting in. Maybe we need to take out some things. Look with me at Proverbs 11, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 28. Just going to let the Bible do the preaching here. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Maybe some of your trust is in riches today, and that's very misplaced. I like Bible promises, and the Bible promise here is a very simple one. You will fall if you place your trust in wealth, in money, in job, in mammon. It says you will fall. I like the promise attached at the end, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. You read any headlines lately? I almost get up in the morning. 20 years ago, it used to be the Inquirer, some of those spooky things that had all these outrageous news events. Now it's just CNN headline news or whatever you watch. Fox headline news. Some crazy stuff's going on. And if you start to look what's behind a lot of these murders and shootings and crazy things, it's the lack and loss of wealth. It's the loss of job. It's the loss of Wall Street and the falling apart of our economy. People have trusted riches, and they are falling. And they are falling. Trusting riches leads to an eternity in hell, and it'll take you away from the gospel. Mark 8:36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world," a lot of wealth, "and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" It can bring many sorrows. We know 1 Timothy 6:10. We know that well. "For the love of money," not just money, "the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So you're promised many sorrows if you love money and trust in riches. But our problem, folks, we want to see what we put our trust in. Well, I like to look at my bank account and know that's how I'm going to be fed in the days ahead. It's so easy. And we fall into this trap of thinking our job is everything, and that income source. Well, folks, it can change very quickly. It can change very quickly. In preparing this message, there's a man in this congregation tonight who in the last weeks has literally gone up against a union, gone up against the forces that be, and said, "I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm not going to fall where these riches are going to take me, but I'm just going to trust the Lord." Psalm 37:3, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Sounds like God will just take care of our needs if we trust Him. When I fill this thing out right here, and I hope you do too, I'm just going to trust God with it. You know what? I take this and I pray over it, and I say, "God, it wasn't my money to begin with. It's not my money now, and I'm just giving back to You what You've given me. I'm just a steward of it, and I'm just going to trust God with it. I'm not going to have this bitter feeling and give with an uncheerful spirit." What about our coinage? You know, it really irks me, and it does you too. They've taken "In God We Trust" off of some coins. Why is that? Because our forefathers knew what America was built on. They knew that "In God we do and should trust." And by the way, I found out there's a good piece of legislation that in 2009 is putting it back on the face of coins, not on the edge, for it to wear off. So I'm glad something good is happening in government. Maybe the only thing, yeah, I'd second that. Don't trust in riches. Don't trust in riches. Maybe a second thing is don't trust in your heart. No, we could spend a lot of time on this. Don't trust in your heart. Proverbs 28:26. Turn with me, if you would. Proverbs 28:26. I just want you to see this from Scripture. By the way, the word trust will be in these Scriptures. You know, it'll be very clear how God commands us in the way of our heart. Proverbs 28:26 says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." Be delivered from what? From whatever you're in, whatever circumstance, whatever trial, whatever financial loss, whatever relationship problem you're having, whatever job situation, shall be delivered. But we know man's heart, and we could say a lot about how wicked it is. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:2, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." Do we let the Lord ponder our heart? Due to our pride, selfishness, deceit, jealousy, all kinds of wickedness, we don't really want the Lord in, searching our heart, telling us what we should trust in. Because we've already got it made up in our mind that we're going to go ahead and trust our heart on some things. And I've just found the older I get, the more stubborn I get, and the more I just put trust in certain things that are not always the Lord. And this is wrong. And that's sin. And it says, I'm a fool for not trusting the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 17:9. You know this verse well. And it's oft quoted, talking and speaking on the heart. Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" But I want you to pay attention, once you found it, to verse 10. Not quoted near as much, but incredibly relevant. And when you look at context, you start to see a more powerful picture of what the Scripture, what God's trying to tell us. Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Sounds like a little sowing and reaping there. But I, the Lord, search the heart. Isn't that amazing? After some information about how deceitful we are, the Lord, if we allow Him to, He'll search the heart. So tonight, don't trust in your heart. Don't trust in your riches. Why does the Bible say, keep thy heart with all diligence? For out of it are the issues of life. Because that's a hard thing to control. It's so easy to put our trust in ourselves. That's called humanism. We, our education, our background, decisions we think we've made and we build on, and so much more will cause us to put our trust in our own heart. Do you have a split trust tonight? How's your trust looking? Can you say, oh, I just trust in the Lord with all mine heart? Let's look at another one, Psalm 118, verse 8. Psalm 118, verse 8. And this is a neat verse. It's the exact middle of the Bible and a very important verse. It's not there by accident. Nothing in the Bible is in here by accident. Psalm 118, verse 8. The Lord tells us it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is just better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And that word confidence is very similar to the word trust or faith. And God ever so gently here is telling us, don't put your confidence, don't put your trust in man. And I'll use our missionary guest tonight, Brother Alexandre. He didn't put his trust in man. It sounded like man was telling him not to go. It sounded like it would have been the easy thing, the right thing to do in man's heart, to just stay at home and not go back to that dangerous field. I know Brother Danny's heading to a very dangerous field in the mountains of Chiapas, Mexico. He probably had somebody, Brother Danny, tell you, don't go. It's going to be too dangerous. But I bet he's going to trust in the Lord with every step he takes getting to the mountains of Chiapas, Mexico. So don't trust in man. Listen, one day I'm going to be accountable to God. So then every man shall give account of himself to God. And if I trust in man, then I'm not going to give account to man one day. We've got a problem there. Got a problem there. Now while you're in Psalm 118, this will be my fourth point, and this is going to jump out of the Scripture at you. Verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in the government, in the IRS, in the military. And I love the military, and thank God for our military. And thank God they took care of those pirates. The Bible says you search it through and through. It never tells us to put trust in the government. It tells us to subject ourselves to the government. It tells us to obey authority. It tells us to pay tribute, to give custom. It tells us to honor all these things, but not to trust it. I'm going to trust the Lord and not the government to take care of my needs. And if we're not careful, well, that stimulus check, shake your head, was pretty good a few months ago. I found a place for it. Yeah? Maybe some of you are thinking, well, I'm just going to trust that another one's coming, or I'm going to be part of this bailout. You know, and our staff, we're putting our personal bailout programs together. No, not really. My bailout program is the Lord. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I'm not going to trust in the military, and I love the military, and I pray daily for the military in our country and the salvation of our president. But I'm not going to trust in these things. In conclusion, trust in the Lord. Back to Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Is your trust split tonight? How is it? What does it look like? It needs to be in the Lord. Why? Because these things can change instantly. Your financial position can change in a heartbeat, literally. A health problem, a car accident, a natural disaster, an economic collapse. If you trust in your riches, you will fall. And you'll take a very deep fall if trust in your riches. What about trusting in your heart? Well, it changes instantly. And it can change so many times during a day. What about man and the government? It changes. These things can consume you if you let them. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of it can consume you. And you know it has consumed many and taken many out of the pews of this church. The love of money, the need and the greed for more. You know, when most millionaires are interviewed, they can't even explain their insatiable desire to just earn more and make more. It's just a greed. It's just pride that drives them on and on. Why trust in the Lord completely? Because these things will end up guiding you if you don't. Man will guide you. Oh, the government wants to guide you. It wants to control you, by the way. Your heart wants to guide you. And certainly your finances. I told you I'd return and give you a word or two about Sergeant York. And I just want to tell you what can happen with 100% trust in the Lord. Let me give you these things that Sergeant York did, and they'll follow this outline perfectly. He didn't trust in his riches. I told you at the beginning, Sergeant York was a poor hillbilly mountaineer, and by the way, probably one of the best shots that ever lived with a long gun, with a rifle. And his feats at great distances with a rifle were phenomenal. And he didn't have any money. When he went to war, it wasn't to get a check from the military. It wasn't for money. He didn't trust in money. He didn't trust in riches. Can I say that he didn't trust in his heart? Sergeant York was a conscientious objector. He was a little mixed up on things and the purpose of the military and some learning he got from the church where he was getting some instruction. He was a little off on some things. But you know what? He didn't trust in his heart. He sought godly counsel. He didn't trust in man or government. What he wanted was a word from God. Should I be in this fight? Should I go? Let me quote him in an interview with a colonel. The interview said went this way. The colonel said, "It is not human for a man to do what you have done." Folks, it's not human for a man single-handedly, while 28 are shooting at him, to kill 28 with nary a scratch. I mean, he came out unharmed. He was not shot, according to the record I've read. To take out 32 machine gun battalions when most of his friends and other men in the Army soldiers were plowed down. That's not normal. And then to take 132 prisoners. They feared him. They had a fear. Like some of these things and these stories and accounts in the Old Testament of battles, great battles that were won. God was behind this thing. He trusted God completely. Here's his account. This colonel asked him, said, "It is not human for a man to do what you've done." He simply said this, and I'll end with this. He said, "I believe," this is the words of Sergeant York, "I believed in God, and I know He watched over me." He said this, he said, "A higher power than manpower guided and watched over me and told me what to do." Well, if you have 100% trust and faith in the Lord, He'll guide you like that. The Holy Spirit will get involved in your life and guide you. It'll just be up to you to follow. And He'll lead. Will you follow? It's easy to say tonight, "I trust in God." I'm not even going to ask at the invitation, "Do you trust in God?" Every hand will go up, should go up. But it's a lot harder to trust Him day to day, fully, with the decisions of life, with the problems we face. And that'll be the challenge, and I hope you take from this message tonight. You know, God says, Paul said, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." If we can just determine tonight to be a James 1:22 Christian, to be more than just a hearer. You've heard. But to go out and be a doer, challenge yourself every day. Not just to say, "Oh, I'm going to trust the Lord," but to do it. And that takes a walk with God. That takes a prayer life. That even takes some fasting. That takes service. That takes being in church. That takes a daily walk, a devotion. It takes all these things. I wish I had time to speak on more. I'll end with a thought from Psalm 4. We started there, we'll end there. Psalm 4, verse 7 and 8. David was being challenged for his life by Absalom here, and was running and hiding. But I tell you what, David trusted in the Lord. David said this in verse 7, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased." Wealth, riches. He said in verse 8, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety." That's pretty good for trusting in the Lord. And that's just the peace, the sleep, the gladness, and many, many more things that the Lord will rot in our heart and our life if we put a complete trust and faith in Him. And I'll ask you, how cluttered is it? Again, Brother Todd always preaches messages. I can just leave church and start to practice immediately. And while I'm nervous when I go in my garage now, I want to make sure it's not cluttered. And I think of that message. And I've done a little cleaning in there. But you know, this fits in with what he preached. I want you to look at your trust tonight. I think God wants us to really examine in the days ahead. I get up in the morning and I'm starting to look at those headlines first just to see what's happened next. And folks, I'm not paranoid, but I do get a little. I'm not worried, but I'm human. I do get a little. But I just want to trust in the Lord going forward. And I want my trust to grow in the Lord. I want to be only in the Lord. And I think as a Christian, being here tonight's testimony, you probably want the same thing. Same thing. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the time. And I pray, Lord, as we get ready for an invitation, you'd just use it any way that you see in the lives of these dear people. And I pray, Lord, a result would be we'd grow in our trust, grow in our walk, in our faith. Lord, you never lead astray. You've always led me right if I just follow. Father, I pray as the invitation begins, if there's one here that's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that's the first thing that each and every one in here needs to do, most have. But I pray it'd be an opportunity in a moment for one or more that's never trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, that they'd come forward and place that trust in the one who promises eternal life, promises forgiveness of sin, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that that might be a result. If there's one more here that's lost, Father, I pray for all the Christians here tonight that know it's so hard to put all our trust in you, even though you're there. And you tell us in your word so many promises, and you tell us to put all our trust in you. Lord, I pray you deal with hearts and have your will and way in this invitation. In Christ's wonderful name, I pray. I'd ask you to stand and remain in prayer.